As I said, two big college basketball wins last night in our city. One was where our next guest used to play when he was a silky smooth basketball player over at the Kerb Event Center, campus of Belmont.
I bet Penny knows this.
Oh, I bet he does too. The Bruins beat Murray State. And over on the campus at TSU, the Tigers beat Austin Peay. I don't know how many people saw that, but two big wins in our city. And Brian Penny Collins is on the line with us. He plays basketball. He knows basketball. Brian, how you doing?
Doing well, man. What's going on this morning, guys?
Do you remember playing at Belmont, right? You remember your silky smooth playing days?
It was so long ago, man. I forgot the silky smooth part, but I do remember playing in that gym.
Yeah.
Do you remember ball coach Rick Bird?
Uh-huh. Do you remember your best game ever?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh. So your memory's starting to come back around, isn't
it? Yeah. It's against Lipscomb. I'm proud to say that.
Yeah. Well, what'd you drop? I mean, come on, don't stop there.
Well, and I had 21 points, but you know, I had 7 steals that night, and we won. It kind of clinched our berth for the regular season title of my senior year. So that was a big time. That was my best game I ever had.
Yeah, see, you're not that old. Everything's coming in crystal clear now. Getting great reviews on the unis last night. Tell us about it.
Yeah, man, we did a throwback Thursday last night, and we brought out some retro jerseys from the 1970s. And the actual jerseys that we wore, I think they were from the year 1973, and they were worn by Bernard Bailey was the best player on that team. He's an All-American that year. But the interesting story about those particular jerseys that I just found out that Truck Robinson, who played in the NBA, who played at Tennessee State, he bought those uniforms for TSU that year.
Wow.
I thought that was a pretty cool story. And they were interesting because they say the big blue on them and they had pinstripes on them. So we just did an exact replica and had an opportunity to wear them last night, and a lot of the fans were excited about it.
Sounds like the guys were excited about it too, huh, when you unveiled those to them?
Oh, man, they were really excited when we showed them the first time. They said they want to wear them again, so we're going to try to pick one more game this year and wear them one more time.
So Murray State and your opponent, Austin Peay, came in to Nashville last night sporting 10-0 records in the OVC. They were undefeated, and
yep,
both went down last night. Austin Peay has played really well this season. What worked is you guys had a nail-biter, and you come away with the 70-68 victory. What was working for you guys last night?
I think we really defended. Last time we played them, we gave up 99 points. And they had two guys that, had unbelievable games against us. And last night we held them to 34% shooting, something like that. And we held them 68 points. So it's almost a 31-point turnaround game defensively for us. But also, when we played them the first time, we were undermanned. We had a lot of guys injured. Our leading scorer at the time and leading rebounder, Wesley Harris, transferred from West Virginia. He didn't play. We had a couple other reserve guards who didn't play in that game. So we were down by 3 or 4 guys and had opportunity to get those guys back. Last week we had an opportunity to get everybody back. So now we're just kind of a little bit more at full strength and get opportunity to play a better brand of basketball than we've been playing the last couple weeks.
You brought up that game against Austin Peay where you gave up 99. That was at their place in Clarksville. You had lost the game before against Eastern Kentucky at home, and then you had gone to a tough Murray place and lost. So you dropped 3 in a row, obviously good opponents. What did you learn about your team, and then you've rebounded to win your next 3? What did you learn about your room after those 3 losses?
Well, it's just like I just said, even the Eastern Kentucky game, we didn't have, our pistol wasn't fully loaded, man. We've been so beat up and hurt. We haven't had our full team on the court until last night. Last night was our first time having our full team on the court since early December. So to finally have all our guys back and healthy and being able to put them all on the floor and have the rotation that we had in the beginning of the year, we were able to kind of – guys can have to play such long minutes and we had guys that could come in and give us some quality minutes off the bench as well. So I think that was the most important thing, to get back healthy. But also, we're back to defending how we defended in the beginning of the year. We were number one in the OVC in defense and number one in the OVC in offense and field goal percentage in the beginning of the season when we had our full team. And then when we started getting all these injuries, some of those stats dropped. I think it dropped to almost 7th place in the OVC. But now that we're back last four games, we've hit our opponents in the 30s in the field goal percentage.
Mm. Brian Penny-Collins on the line with us, head coach at TSU, Tennessee State, with a big win last night over Austin Peay, 70-68. Now that you're well-entrenched in conference play, you've got a good look at the conference as we sit here in February. What do you think of the conference as a whole?
Oh, man, I think it's big time. It's one of the best mid-major conferences in the country. We have some elite coaches, some legendary coaches, some guys that are going to go down as Hall of Famers, and we also have some elite basketball players in this conference, obviously. You look at the history of the conference and the guys that we just had recently to go into the NBA, Wendler and Morant, but also we have another whole other list of guys that are coming through now that are going to be special players. And every night is a battle. There's not one night that you can come in and say, oh, I got this. It's going to be an easy one tonight. You have to battle every single night, and, you know, our guys are up for the challenge.
Well, the good news is you get to, you know, you get to celebrate beating Austin Peay, and then you get a little walk in the park with Murray. Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's easy.
Yeah, no big deal. But in all seriousness, what is it about Murray, Penny? How do they do this year in and year out where they are always – I mean, it's one thing when you have the special player like Ja Morant, who, by the way, is tearing it up as a rookie in the NBA. But they've been doing this now for a while, whether their coach goes and jumps for a bigger program. Like, how do they stay at this level in Murray, Kentucky, year in and year out?
Well, you know, I don't know who the coach was that started it, but whoever started it, they have done an unbelievable job of sustaining their culture of winning. I mean, now those teams, they believe they're going to win every game. Their fans believe. They have unbelievable support in Murray, Kentucky. You go to a game on a Thursday, it's going to be packed. You go to a game on Monday when the students are not there, it's going to be packed. I mean, the people in Murray, Kentucky love their program. And when those young men come into the program, they have a pride and a culture of winning that has been able to sustain over a long period of time. And you can't say enough about once you build your program up, like Belmont has done, like we are trying to do now, to when you get to a point where you expect to win every single game, especially when you get in the conference play. And teams like Murray State, they've done a good job of that.
Brian Penny-Collins is on the line with us, head coach at TSU. Big win last night over Austin Peay, 70-68. And sticking with the conversation about the conference and the OVC, and you alluded to it with Murray State and Ja Morant and just a transcendent player like he was. I know he didn't play for you, but how can you use a player like that as a recruiting tool when you're trying to get people to come to TSU of, hey, this conference, it's stacked, it has great talent, you see a player like Ja Morant, can you use that as a recruiting tool even though he didn't play for you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, any kind of success that comes out of the OVC, we use it, you know. And not just the OVC, but, you know, Nashville period. We really sell Nashville and, you know, all the great things and great people that have came out of Nashville. And, of course, Tennessee State as well. We've had over 20-plus NBA players that play here for us at Tennessee State. And a lot of people don't, you know, talk about, you know, I just talked about kind of like Truck Robinson and Ted Howe McLean and Dick Skull Barnett. Some of the legendary guys that have played 10-plus years in the NBA who you don't really hear about. You know, just recently Robert Covington was traded 2 days ago to Houston Rockets. And last night he goes and gets, you know, has a big-time game in his first game, and they beat the Lakers last night.
Right.
And it had a lot to do with him. So, you know, there's a lot of positivity still. You know, definitely even guys that didn't come from TSU and that have played overseas talk about all those things. It's a league where you can come and have your dreams come true.
I can remember a few years ago I went to the Coaches versus Cancer. It was a luncheon at the time, and you had the coaches in the area, that Rick Byrd, obviously, Kevin Stallings was at Vanderbilt, and a lot of these guys had been here for so long. Well, now there has been a turnover, but it seems like the relationship between all the coaches and all the schools, it's continued, and I look at that as a good thing because you all, whether you're in the SEC or the OVC, you guys playing each other and having that relationship can help each other out.
Yeah, I mean, when you're a college basketball coach, you're in a brotherhood. You're in a brotherhood that, you know, it's not many of us. I think there's like 350 Division I head coaches in the country, and you got to, you know, you pick each other's brains and you root for each other. And, but, you know, when you play against each other, you battle when the game is over. You know, you shake hands like Jim and move on. But we have a really tight-knit group of Tennessee coaches, and we all kind of pull for each other. And, you know, obviously I'm a Belmont alum, so I like to see those guys win, except when we play them. But, you know, we do have a really close-knit group of coaches, especially here in Tennessee.
What does that say about Rick Byrd to have you that is a Belmont alum, you're coaching in the area as the head coach at TSU, you have Casey that's over at Belmont now, but he was at Lipscomb, to have two guys that played under him that are now head coaches?
Man, I wish I could speak for him, but I would assume that he's extremely proud. You know, knowing the kind of person he is and kind of man he is, I just can assume that he's just as proud to see his tree grow as he is to win championships. I can imagine that when we play each other, he'll be, you know, sitting up there like a proud dad, see his former pupils, two of his former point guards play against each other and lead their programs in a special way. But I think the thing that he'll be the most proud about is how his influence is going right into our culture of both the programs. So when he sees a reflection of himself and sees some of the sets that we both run and sees some of the values that are put into our guys, it's a direct reflection of some of the things that he taught me and Casey and a lot of the other coaches that have came through, players that have came through to have their own programs now.
Brian, how much have you seen the relationship between the coach and the player change over the years, whether it's your time as an assistant or now your time as a head coach? Because I feel like it's ever-evolving.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's one of the things that's changed a lot. It's a great question. I know for me personally, when I was coming up through high school, I had a really, really big fear of my coach. And when I was being the GM doing horse playing, when Coach Nolan used to walk in, well, I would straighten up quick. I would be so nervous. and we had a great relationship, and, you know, that was fine. But now it's like it's a new generation of kids that are coming up that and I think a lot of it has to do with the social media generation and the lack of being embarrassed. They don't take, you know, that stuff as well, this generation. So it's a little bit more of making sure that their feelings are okay. we really want to make sure these guys are feeling good and feeling good about themselves. And we spend a lot of time with relationships. And I just feel like once you earn the guys' trust and love on them, and, you know, you give them that tough up as well, they'll be able to do some amazing things for you.
Do you find yourself having to balance of, you know, whether it's before a practice or before a game, you're in the gym. I mean, you're a player, you're a competitor, shooting around with your guys and, you know, maybe having a little friendly competition, but that also builds the rapport where if you have to have those tough conversations, it's easier to do that.
Absolutely. And we have a rule that I adopted from when I was at Tennessee State. We make our guys check in the office every day before 1 o'clock. So they have to have a meaningful conversation with a coach. So that kind of alleviates a lot of issues of we only spend time with them on the court. So when they come in before 1 o'clock every day, and we joke with them and talk with them and talk about how class is going and how life is going and how their relationships are going, and then we get to the court, it's all about business. So we spend a lot of time in the locker room with the guys after practice, things like that. So you could ask anybody on our team, our players, we have a great player-coach relationship with our entire staff, and I really do believe that it goes a long way, especially when they leave here and come back and think about their times at TSU.
Did you ever get a chance to meet Kobe?
I did not, man. And I feel like I did. I feel like I've been knowing him since he was 17 and got drafted. Man, I'm still in disbelief of what happened to him, honestly. It's just devastating.
Yeah, I know you've rubbed elbows with a lot of big-time players. I wasn't sure if your paths ever crossed.
No, I was in California the same time he was, and I was in a D-League, and we had a couple opportunities to cross paths, but I never actually had a chance to sit down and talk with him. But his influence and what he's done has definitely impacted my life.
No doubt about it. Have you offered your son a scholarship yet?
You already know that. That's a no-brainer.
Okay.
It's funny because the Austin Peay coach told me last night that he talked to my son before the game and told him that he's going to Austin Peay, not Tennessee State. So it looks like I still got some work to do.
Sounds like it. Look, Will Muschamp, on the football side of things, his son just committed to Georgia. So what does that tell you? He's the head coach at South Carolina.
How about that? I think that's a tough dinner.
That is a crazy story. Yeah, no doubt about it. Thanksgiving will never be the same in the Muschamp house. By the way, going back as we wrap this up, what you said, you don't know where it started maybe at Murray State. I'm thinking Mark Godfrey. I mean, just think about it. Mark Godfrey, before he went to Alabama – you had Mick Cronin, Billy Kennedy, Steve Prohm, These are some of the coaches that have been at Murray State.
Yeah.
Now look at them today.
Yeah.
My gosh, it's
amazing. And it goes even further.
Oh, I know. I know.
It's a lot of really good coaches that came out of that league. I mean, out of that school, and they went on to have great careers.
No doubt about it. Hey, go get them. Keep it going. Nice win last night. I know the next two are not going to be easy either. Murray State and Belmont. So it'll be a lot of fun to watch. Thanks for doing this as always.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that is Brian Penny Collins, Tennessee State, with a nice win over Austin Peay.
Take two?
I'm not even eating. They suffer their first loss, Austin Peay. Austin Peay and Murray State both going down in our city last night. And now Murray and Tennessee State will do battle for the second time this season. When they went to Murray, they lost by 12. But as you heard Penny say, they just now have their full roster intact. So I'm sure it'll be a little bit different when they meet up on the campus of Tennessee State here next. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.